You're listening to the Candidly with Coffee podcast, the show that gives you straightforward and candid advice on all things nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle with your host, Janine Escobar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
What up?
We're back. I'm already laughing over here before I even hit record. This guy just kills me, you guys.
Kills you, huh?
Yes. He rubs his face and chews ice and smacks the water. And I'm trying to explain to him that as podcast listeners, all of that stuff is very annoying.
We're doing it before we start recording.
Though, I know, so. But like, I have to like do the checklist. Like, did you scratch your face already? Mm-hmm. Did you chew the ice? Anyhow.
Just myself, all that. Yes.
We are back.
Yes, we are.
We're back and ready for another episode.
And I'm buzzing high.
You're buzzed and high. Are you buzzed?
I don't know. I think so a little bit. I caught a little buzz at the restaurant. I think it made it extra strong.
Maybe. So we just
extra tequila.
We were out dinner and you had two margaritas.
Yes.
Two jalapeno margaritas. Yes. And then you smoked some.
Right now. Know. Yep.
I'm sober. Sober Sally over here.
Sober Sally. Granny.
Sober Sally.
Granny panties.
But that's okay. I don't wear granny panties.
And I'm just joking. Higher. I'm just talking shit.
Send the wrong message out there. Oh my goodness. So we're going to record today this episode. You're listening to it on a Monday. We will be off next Monday, just so you guys know in advance. We're going to be out of town. But that'll be a fun one when we return. While we recap that trip, we're going to be going to Miami. So that should be
305.
That should be good times.
Florida. Go see some friends of ours.
And but yeah, so we did have cheat day on Saturday, which was good. Scaled back a little bit, I have to say. We didn't do donuts for the first time in a while.
That's because I said I didn't want to do donuts.
And I just wasn't feeling it. Because I just wanted you to go buy the donuts.
Yeah.
And I was lazy, so I didn't do donuts.
Did you a favor.
But instead, we had ice cream.
Yes, we did.
And that, because listen, guys, I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, I want it all. I want donuts, I want ice cream, I want the Chick-fil-A, but you can't have it all.
Nope.
Okay? You can't have it all. You have to have boundaries, you have to have limitations. That's part of having balance.
Yep.
So we had ice cream instead. And honestly, like, I feel sorry for you guys because I looked it up. This particular ice cream shop, it's by my house. It's not a chain. So I can't even like direct you. But if any of you are listening and you are from San Jose, Sweet Fix Creamery in East San Jose on McKee. I believe it's on McKee.
Capital of McKee. Next to the Starbucks.
Makes the best ice cream.
What's that? Chicken Wings place? What's that?
Wingstop.
Wingstop. There you go.
Makes the best ice cream I've ever tried. And it's actually a cleaner ice cream in that there's no preservatives. It's made in small batches, fresh daily, and there's no high fructose corn syrup. I definitely don't feel sick.
I don't get sick. And usually I get a little insensitive with the lactose, you know, because ice cream, but it doesn't bother my stomach one bit.
Yeah, they make it with heavy cream. I looked at their like recipe.
Oh, okay.
So it's delicious. It is absolutely delicious. My favorite is the cookie butter. Oh my God. So I have to say like, it was a toss-up. I was eating that ice cream last night thinking, like, I might be enjoying this more than a donut right now. Might be a new kick for a while. Might be giving donuts a break.
Sometimes you got to do that, though. Sometimes we got to do that for a while. Leave something alone.
Yeah.
Miss it for a long time. And so when you eat it again.
Let's not get carried away. I wouldn't say a long time.
I mean, what are we thinking, like 6 months?
6 months? You're crazy. I would never give up donuts.
Okay,
for
4 months?
6 weeks would be tough. I mean, like a couple weeks go without donuts and have just ice cream. Watch out. You see, you're doing this.
So 4 weeks?
You're gonna pull your cord out.
4 weeks?
I don't know. I'm not going to put a time on it. Hold on,
I have a feeling you're going to want to get donuts in Miami or something. I found a donut place, babe. They said it's the best donuts in Miami. And they're trash.
No. I know. Scottsdale wasn't that good.
Whacked.
If I did find a good donut spot in Miami.
I mean, of course.
Of course I would.
We've always done that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we scaled back a little bit, but honestly, we're going on vacation, so I have to be mindful of that because, you know, want to kind of, like, keep things cool here for a little bit, and then obviously I'm going to be off plan somewhat for vacation. So, you know, I had to scale back a little bit on cheat day, but still enjoyed it regardless. I had my Chick-fil-A, and we had the ice cream, and it was delicious. But yeah, what do you think? Like, What do you want to talk about? I was thinking maybe like talking about on vacation, straying, or do you stay on track or stray? People tend to like freak out about vacations. Like, oh my God, I'm going on vacation. What do I do? You know?
Keep it in check still. Enjoy yourself, but keep it in check. Be mindful. Don't let the floodgates completely open we always do.
Exactly.
We enjoy ourselves, but we don't go too crazy, honestly. So I think sometimes I eat cleaner on vacation than I do at home. I'm not going to lie. I scale back a little more. It's weird.
I'm mindful of things that might make me feel bloated if it's a bikini vacation. But other than that, the only thing I really pay attention to is my overall volume. That's it. I don't restrict myself. I just pay attention to kind of like my volume of food. So if you think about it, if you're going on vacation, don't try to make progress on vacation.
Okay? No.
Put a freaking pin in that.
Because
you don't go on vacation very much.
No.
Vacation is meant for enjoying. I do not believe in being super strict and trying to make progress on vacation.
No.
That being said, I also don't think you should throw everything you learned out the window and gorge out on vacation because you've been deprived before vacation. I definitely, that's a no. That's why I don't believe in deprivation at all, so that you're not feeling deprived to where you're going to fly off the handle on vacation. But at the end of the day, a vacation truly is a vacation. The only time I have a difference of opinion when it comes to how to handle travel is if you travel frequently, like for work and as part of your lifestyle, then you need to figure out how to progress even when you're on vacation, because it's not something that's infrequent. It's a part of your regular schedule. So you need to make that a part of your healthy lifestyle. So that's different. But a true vacation for joy, put a pin in making progress, but you don't want to go off handle, right? You don't want to go crazy.
And don't do with the shit that I've done is try to go too hard on vacation. And remember, I got myself a little kind of like nauseous and sick.
Go hard and work
training. Like there's no need for that.
No, there really isn't.
Just do a little leisure workout. Have fun, sweat.
I do feel like I like to still move and exercise on vacation because, again, I'm trying to buy myself credits for more eating.
That's true.
That's the only reason. Yeah,
You're trying to build
up
credits.
Not because I'm trying to make a bunch of progress on vacation and come back leaner. No, that is not the goal. The goal is to minimize damage so that when I come back, I'm back on track a few days and I feel right back to normal. That's the goal. So you can pump up your volume to closer to your maintenance calories and stay active. That's really all you need to do. Like, people overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
They overthink it. And I actually...
Just watch your sugar too. Don't go too crazy on the sugar.
Yes.
That's one thing, because you know what? You're careful now by your drinks, remember? You say you can't have certain sugar because it gets you sick.
Yeah, but that's not even about sick.
The calories.
Sugar is, if you're trying to minimize volume, sugar is empty calories.
Yes.
It makes you want more calories. Exactly. It's a lot harder to control the volume of food if the food is coming from sugar. It's because of the way your body responds to sugar. It makes you feel hungrier. It just never will fill you up.
No, that's why
your stomach will want to explode from actually being to capacity, but you still will shove more sugar in your mouth.
I know, it's just
because it's a brain thing, not a stomach thing. So yes, every time you introduce sugar, you are going to potentially...
Talk about addictive. Like, that's fucking addictive.
You're going to potentially have a harder time...
That's super addictive. Yeah.
Harder time controlling volume. But, like I said, at the end of the day... I always think about this. Be mindful, enjoy yourself, control your volume, kind of like spot. Listen, I'm not talking about whipping out your app and tracking. That's not what I'm saying. I'm thinking guesstimate, you know, just to gauge potentially where you're at and stay active. And then when you come back, you don't take a break. You don't come back and wait 3, 4, 5 days before you're getting back on track.
Hell no.
You go right back on track and you'll be fine. Like, even if you did...
Don't even care yourself the next day.
Even if you did...
Ease into it.
No, just go back to your normal lifestyle.
Yeah, but I'm saying ease into, like, I'm saying workout-wise, like, ease into it the next day.
No, babe, these people don't work out like you work out. Like you, I mean, nobody needs to ease into it. They're already eased into it. Their workouts are already mild. Okay, you're talking about the way you work out. That's different. I'm talking to our audience.
I know. I'm just saying when they come back from vacation.
Like a maniac.
I'm saying people take like days on end, a week still.
No, and I don't exercise for punishment.
No.
Don't tell yourself, oh my God, I'm just gonna double my cardio just all week. Ease into like you're it. Eating, you're eating like crazy on vacation, and you're making false promises, like you're gonna double up on cardio. Like, no, don't do any
that.
Of that.
No, don't do that.
Just go back to normal. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It'll all balance itself out at the end.
Yes, and
it
even will. If here, this is what I say. Okay, then you get on vacation, and you're able to control it for maybe you're on a 5-day vacation. Day one, you're doing good. Day two, you're doing good. Day three, you start to loosen up the reins a little bit. Day four, you kind of start to go all in. Day five, you go balls to the wall because it's the end of vacation. And then you're like, damn, I blew it. You didn't blow it because look, you didn't blow it because the act of trying not to blow it prevented you from going all in for 5 days. Instead, mm-hmm. you only went all in for two. That's a huge difference. Like, recognize the small wins here. You know what I mean? People think, like, again, it's like, ditch that all or nothing mentality. The however long you were able to keep yourself in check, that's still a good thing. Even if at the end of the vacation, you loosen up a little bit. Historically, that's what I do. I kind of like keep it in check. I enjoy myself, but monitor the volume. But kind of like when I'm a day and a half left, I kind of like loosen the reins and enjoy myself and up until I get home. And then I just get right back on track. And that's it. And then I enjoyed myself. I didn't feel deprived on vacation. I had a great vacation, but I also...
You created that mindset though, so you're used to it. So it's all automatic for you. So people need to create that mindset.
You have to create that
Train
mindset.
Their brain to know, like, as soon as I get back, just get back to normal.
That's it.
Don't care yourself. Don't get down on yourself. It'll come back off.
No matter what plan you made that you didn't follow through with, and maybe you didn't do that great on vacation, you kind of did go crazy. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day... It's one vacation. How many vacations do you take in a year? Maybe two. The average American maybe takes two vacations a year.
Maybe.
And so, like, hopefully you made great memories. You enjoyed some good food and just get right back on track.
Of course.
That's it.
Sometimes you're going to go to a restaurant like you dreamed of going. You heard about it and you don't want to hold back. It's
but
hard.
Don't make these crazy restrictions for yourself. Like, you know, like that's like saying I'm going to go to Mexico and I'm not going to have any tacos and chips. Like, really? Then why are you going to Mexico?
That's one of the best things to have. Come on. That's a staple. You know what I mean? You have to have it.
Honestly, that's like trying to go to Italy and being on a diet and not having enjoying Italian food in Italy. That's just silly.
Because everybody's going to ask you when you get home, how did the pasta taste? How did this taste?
Well,
how did the pizza?
Salad everywhere.
No.
Like, that's just silly.
Heck, nope. You know? Exactly. You're right.
It's silly. And that's why it's important to, when you make this an overall lifestyle and you really work on making it a lifestyle, the off-plan days become not the norm. That's not the norm. So you can do that once in a while.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because it's most of the time you're on point. Most of the time you're following a good, healthy lifestyle. And so I think it's just really important to remember that when you do have control, when you are home and it's a regular old day, you should be on point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's really not a lot of reason for it. Because then when you put in that kind of work, when you do have those family coming into town, a celebration, a birthday, a holiday, then you can enjoy it because most of the time you're on track. So you create room in your lifestyle for that off-track time.
Yep.
You know, and this is above and beyond cheat meals. This is not the weekly cheat meal. This is like those vacations and... You know, I always like to say, like, memories over macros.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? And if you make, you don't have holidays every day, you don't have celebrations every day. I mean, you have to be smart about it. But if you put in the work all the other time, then you definitely earn that for yourself. So I did get, oh man, I posted a video on YouTube on like about keto and keto mistakes. And if you haven't watched it, it's on my YouTube channel. It goes into like why I quit keto, which basically for me in a nutshell was I don't want to feel like there's anything that I cannot eat. I want to be able to eat whatever I want as long as I fit it within to the parameters of my protocol and my macros. So that's why I quit.
You don't like the restriction part of it. I know.
Restriction.
It's hard.
And
yeah.
You gotta think, and I just started
I did
to
it too.
Really,
I remember.
I started to really think about like the human psyche and how we are, how we're, our minds work. And when we cannot have something,
we want it even
we
more.
We want it even more.
We were like that since kids.
Okay. So like
babies.
Like for an example, Yeezy shoes. Like I love Yeezy tennis shoes. They're comfortable or whatever. But I'll be honest. Part of why I love my Yeezys is because you cannot walk into a tennis shoe store and see Yeezys on, you can't buy them.
No,
they're not on the shelves.
Not like that, no.
In no stores. So if my same pair of Yeezys, if I walked into every Shoe Palace, any store, Adidas, whatever, and there was walls full of Yeezys, do you think that they would be as sought after?
Nope.
No. Because when you cannot have something, it becomes more desirable.
Yep.
So you got to be careful when you are picking a food plan or a macronutrient breakdown, because you have to understand that the minute you restrict something, you're going to want it even more. And when I realized I was starting to feel that way, even me who had been, listen, I was successful on keto. You can be very successful if you do it correctly and you track macros and all of that. But I started like looking at like rice, plain old rice, which I'm not even a rice person. And
you're not.
Like, wow, that looks so delicious, that rice. And I'm like, okay, this is a problem. If rice is looking desirable to me, I'm starting to get to a point where I feel restricted. You know what I mean? And that's, you don't want to do that. I want to feel like I can have whatever I want. So like, for example, when you order something that is off plan for me, but I want to try it. Like, I want to feel like I can have it. Like, I can mm-hmm. have a piece. And so that's why, for me, I switched. But in that same video, I was talking about how biggest keto diet mistakes. And if you want to hear it, just go watch the video. But one of the things that I brought up was on vacation. When people go on vacation who are on keto and they think, It's okay. I'm just going to keep it keto.
We did though.
That's hard to do. I was tracking macros. That's different. I mean, people go and think, I'm just going to keep it keto. I'm not going to track or anything, but I'm going to keep it keto and I'll be good. And I try to explain what that means is you are probably going to over consume calories by a lot.
Yeah.
By a lot.
A lot.
So if you went and had carbs and consumed less, you're going to be better off when you come back. I know, like, man, people were not happy with that.
I bet they weren't.
When I said that, and that's, I said,
funny. It's true, though.
I actually made a comment saying that I have many clients, and you know who you are if you're my client, that they'll tell me, like, oh, don't worry, I kept it keto, and I cringe. I said, like, it makes me cringe. It does, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, but what does that mean? Did you track? No, I didn't track, but I kept it keto. You keep it keto and you have like steak and avocado and salami and cheese and all of that all day.
Slabs of bacon for breakfast, sausage.
Your caloric intake is going to be through the roof. It doesn't matter whether you consume carbs or not. And I'm here to tell you, if you overconsume calories, I don't care what it is, you're going to store fat. If you consume,
I know people get confused with that. They don't understand that you cannot overconsume.
You can't overconsume.
It's still calories
in,
calories out. Remember, I was making that mistake when I did keto.
Yeah,
my coffees were way too much.
You weren't losing. You were stuck. And I'm like, hey, let me track your macros, because you weren't working with me initially. You were working with somebody else.
I was trying something else.
And they had you on a program where you didn't track macros. And I'm like, you know what? I think you're overconsuming. So I calculated what you were consuming. Just your fatty coffee alone was 700 calories.
That's way too much. And
it was 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of coconut
power
oil.
Power coffees, remember?
It was called power coffees.
Too much.
Anyways, long story short,
you adjusted.
You were over consuming. So my whole point is, if you keep it keto, the reason why I cringe is if you keep it keto and you're not tracking your calories, fats have double the amount of calories than carbs. So if you're avoiding all carbs, you're naturally going to gravitate towards the fats and the fatty meats and all of that. And your calories are going to add up extremely fast. So I caution my clients who are keto, don't rely on keeping it keto unless you're going to keep tabs on that volume, because it's not going to do you any good. You may as well have enjoyed the chips and enjoyed the tacos and monitor the volume, because as long as you didn't overconsume, you'll come back, drop the water weight, and you'll be fine. And yeah, so someone commented, she was, I'm glad I'm not your client if things they say make you cringe. Like, listen, guys, it's in jest. Like, I'm very honest with my clients. I'm very straightforward personality. I do like to convey the type of person that I am in my social media. I like to convey it when I do YouTube videos, on this podcast, so that you know I'm going to tell you like it is. Like, I'm going to tell you the truth, not always just what you want to hear. I mean, that's my job as a coach. And, you know, there's just a lot of crap out there about how to lose fat and how to lose weight and all of that. So,
You're seeing all kinds of new science findings or new.
A lot of snake oil.
Snake oil. Yeah. Snake oil. That's hilarious. You know? To this day,
and
snake
listen,
oil.
I promise you, you guys, listen, I'm not just trying to make a buck. If I were just trying to make a buck, I would tell you all the things you want to hear.
Oh, yep.
I would tell you all the things to hear. I would sell you supplements till the cows came home. I would tell, if I told all of my group, I have hundreds of people that I coach every 2 months. You guys, first and foremost, before you start this program, you need to buy this bottle of pills. This bottle of pills is going to accelerate your results. That's all I would have to say. It's going to melt your fat or blah, blah, blah. Everyone would buy the bottle of pills. They wouldn't even question it.
Yeah.
I would never do that because it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Yes, there are supplements, certain things that I take. I rarely talk a lot about supplements. I don't overly encourage them, because at the end of the day, I personally feel, so far in my journey and my experience with using supplements, if they help, it's minimal. If they help, it's minimal. You know what I'm saying?
It's not what we think it is.
No, I don't think so. I think there's certain things that help.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful of the marketing tactics that are used. Be careful.
There's no real data. That's what's crazy. There's no real data. Like, what, does it really work? Or is it placebo? It's hard.
And that's why I have a hard time. Like, listen, there's certain things that I take. Even right now, I'm taking something over the past couple months. I haven't even talked about it yet. Because I really want to feel like I can't even... I don't even feel like I could talk about it yet. Because honestly, for me, the type of person I am, when I'm on point with like my macros and doing everything else, which is most of the time, I like to kind of do all the things. I like the act of taking supplements because I feel like they're doing something. But I wouldn't like bet money on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Because
I know what you mean.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I can't, with good conscience, push something day in and day out when it comes to
that's why the FDA doesn't endorse supplements at all. They say that they don't. They just
I'm just so reluctant when it comes to things. Like there are certain things that I take that I talk about in Body Bootcamp. I kind of give my list and this is why I take them. But my caveat is, I don't know if they're doing a whole lot, but this is what I take. This is why people take them. This is why, if you want to take them but not required or whatever. But there's even some additional stuff I started testing out that, oh my gosh, if you guys could see the Instagram posts about this, the before and afters and all these amazing things that this stuff supposedly does, it's exactly why I get turned off by it. Because now I'm like I'm on my second month and I'm like, okay, I don't really notice anything yet. I still haven't taken it, but I'm not talking about it yet either. And I'm not going to say what it is because I don't like to do that. It's annoying. And that's why I started to kind of like really, I'm really particular about what I promote, like in terms of what I'm an affiliate marketer for or what I earn dollars off of. Right now, it's very minimal. It's Built Bars, because that's not a supplement. That's just like a yummy treat that you can easily fit into your macros that helps you reach your protein goal. And I can stand behind that.
And you can also use it as like... Like if you're craving a real candy bar, that'll hold you over.
Yes.
I can attest to that. It's good.
I can 1,000% stand behind Built Bars because I've been eating them since they came out over 2 years.
I wasn't a fan at first either.
I've never felt like it impacted my results. Quite the opposite, because like you said, if I'm craving something sweet, a Built Bar does the trick.
Yeah, it does actually.
Very satisfying. But it's just, I just am so turned off by but at the same time, I know why people give into it, because I do too. I'm not saying I'm immune. I start to like watch people over and over on these ads and Instagram, and I'm like, huh, well, I'm curious. And so I'll buy it too and waste my money.
See, you want to see it for sure.
I want to see. And if I come out and say like, you guys, this, I'm blown away. This is amazing. Believe it, because I don't say that very often. And
yeah.
I've yet to really say that about supplements. Now, back in my keto days, I did promote Perfect Keto, which there was, it was more like protein powders and stuff like that, but like certain supplements, it was very new at the time. Mm-hmm. Keto was mainstream. I did feel like taking like certain things made me have like mental clarity or whatever. But then I just kind of started to feel the same way about those too. Like, is it really doing something or is it? And then so what I did is I stopped taking them and still continued with my ketogenic diet. And I didn't feel a difference, but I stopped taking it. The only difference I felt was in my bank account because I no longer was paying a lot of money for the supplements. So that's why I stopped.
That's crazy though. That's a good way. That's a good way to find out though. How you feel, like, okay, let me stop taking them and see if I feel any better or any worse.
Yeah.
Or the same.
Exactly. And so that's how I am taking. There is something, you see me take it every day. I am trying something. And I thought to myself, if there's something here, some amazing thing begins to happen, yes, I will absolutely talk about it. But until then, I will not, because I know that people will buy it. They'll buy it. They'll buy, even if I say, I don't know, guys, I think, or blah, 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 they'll go out and buy it. So I'm just really cautious about it, because like, let me give you an example. Like when it comes to fat loss, a fat burner, let me tell you what it doesn't do. A fat burner pill does not melt your fat away.
No.
It does not burn fat like you think. It's always like an inadvertently burns fat. Let me explain. So like, but a fat burner sounds good, right? Oh, people love the thought of, ooh, it burns my fat.
Yeah.
But it's a thermogenic. So it heats you up. And you end up burning more calories. It accelerates like your heart rate, right? You feel like you're jumping out of your skin. The accelerated heart rate helps you burn more calories. If you burn more calories and you're already eating at a deficit, now you're at a larger deficit. When you're at a deficit, your body needs to utilize fat storage for energy. That's how you burn fat. See how down the line that is?
Yes.
The pill is not burning fat.
No, the pill itself,
you
no.
You can create the deficit without the damn pill. So if you want to save yourself $50 a month, just drop a few almonds out of your meal plan. There you go. I just saved you $50.
That's
true. You don't take the fat burner. Create your own deficit.
Yep.
Work a little harder on the machine,
mm-hmm,
or whatever.
Push yourself.
Have an extra shot of espresso to elevate. That's what I'm saying. Like a thermogenic.
That's what I did.
It's kind of a lazy way. Not, I don't want to say a lazy way, but it's an easy way to quickly like kind of ramp up your heart rate and burn more calories.
I come from that bro science of the 90s and I did it. I'm guilty of it.
But it doesn't refuel.
No. But it gets you amped. I remember feeling amped up and like working out and my heart racing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like another thing, like when people put like, okay, like the sweatbands.
Yes, the sweatbands.
They throw the sweatbands around your to do cardio.
Yeah.
And then they'll rub a gel on there and then put a sweatband on. The sweatband's not burning fat. You guys, it's not. I'm telling you right now, it is not burning fat. The only thing that burns fat is being in a caloric deficit and causing your body to need to dip into fat storage to function. That's the only thing that burns fat. So why do people think it burns fat? Because the marketing.
Yep.
Marketing tells you, because you feel like it does, because it makes you sweat.
Gets you hot, your core warms you up.
You look lean when you take it off, right? Your stomach looks kind of lean. Why do you think your stomach looks lean? You just lost water out of that area.
Yes.
You sweated out water. It's just water retention there.
It's the same thing, those mummy wraps.
It's the illusion. Go drink a bottle of water right after and then go back to the mirror. You don't look lean anymore. Sorry, guys.
It's those mummy wraps. Remember they were doing those dumbass mummy wraps?
It's water loss.
They wrap your whole body up.
It's marketing tactics. So yes, do I sometimes throw on a sweatband? Yeah, because I do, like after a cheat meal, like today for sure, my stomach was a little more squishy today because of my cheat meal yesterday. I'm holding more water in my stomach.
Yeah.
So that'll help you get rid of the water weight. Or if you're going to be going in a bikini or whatever and you want to sweat out the water in your midsection so that it appears leaner, but you're not burning fat. There is no miracle fat burning gel. if there was a gel that you could rub on your belly and do some cardio and it melted the fat away, everyone and their brother would be walking around.
This would be a $1 trillion company.
It would be a trillion, yeah, trillion, exactly, dollar company.
Everybody would buy this product.
Okay.
Including us. Me
it
included.
It does not burn your fat. I'm sorry. Listen, guys. I wish.
It's too bad.
Because
you're like the bad news bearers.
I know. I'm like
right
the
now. You know
reaper.
That? So I'm gonna like try to like make your crowd a little happy somehow, man. Your audience,
because
you're like the
I'm
Grim
just,
Reaper.
Because
but you're being
I'm
honest,
here to
though.
Teach you
that's true.
What not to do. Don't fall for the bullshit.
The gimmicks, yeah.
Stop wasting your money on
fat-free this,
like the
fat
same
free
person
that.
That'll question, like, oh, I don't know if I should do your program. It's $99. That same person will not hesitate to buy a $50 bottle of fat burners. It's mm-hmm. only gonna last you 30 days if you're lucky.
Yep.
Some sweatband and some gel.
Yeah.
They'll buy that. But they won't buy the program that's going to teach you the real way to lose weight and keep it off.
Exactly.
Which is the only way is to create a caloric deficit.
Yep. And know what to put in your body.
That's the only way. And another thing, and I feel like a lot, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in my space or in the fitness space, they capitalize on people's desire for that quick fix.
Yep.
So they'll say the buzzwords. They'll say the things that the people want to hear so that they will buy their program or whatever. So for example, I'm gonna burst another bubble.
Uh-oh.
You cannot spot reduce fat.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
As a trainer,
so
I
if
that
you
way
are
back,
following a yeah. personal trainer or a fitness guru out there that says, hey guys, do this exercise to get rid of the back fat, or do this exercise to get rid of your chicken wings or your
crunches.
Chicken arms.
Oh, yeah,
you want abs,
dips.
Do a bunch of crunches. They are misleading you like a mofo.
Mofo.
Right?
That's it. We knew that way back when I was a trainer.
You cannot spot reduce fat. And I want you to remember this. Whenever you think of a certain exercise that you might be doing to shrink something, remember this. When you are doing resistance training, you are not shrinking anything. You are making it grow. So if you are doing a back exercise with weights, you are making your back muscles grow, not shrink. That's not what's going to get rid of the back fat. But it's not a bad thing. I mean, ultimately, does weight training help you? Yes, of course. For one, you want to develop the muscle so that when you do lose the fat, you've got a nice toned, hard, defined muscle under there.
Yep.
You also want to build
nice
muscle
physique.
Because it increases your metabolism and your RMR, which is your resting metabolic rate.
Yep.
A higher metabolism means it's easier to be in a deficit,
mm-hmm.
to create that deficit. So it's all good. That's all good things. But none of those things is actually going to reduce the fat roll, right? Not directly. That exercise that you're doing doesn't directly reduce the fat roll. The only thing that's going to do that is a caloric deficit. Because the deficit, what that means, again, I'm going to reiterate it for you guys. So when you take in less calories than your body needs to function, then it needs to get gasoline. It needs energy to function, right? Because you didn't take in enough for it to function. So it will have to go into its energy storage. Energy storage is the fat that's on your body. All fat is stored energy. So in order to burn fat, you have to tell your body that it needs stored body fat for energy. But here's the thing. You can't direct your body where to get it.
You can't
say, hey, excuse me, body.
That's
can
true,
you
people.
Take that away from my back fat?
Yeah.
I would love it. Unfortunately, we're all genetically predisposed to gaining and losing in specific areas. And oftentimes, the areas of your stubborn fat, those are the first place you're going to gain because you're just genetically predisposed to gaining there, and the last place to lose. So if you say, for example, you have bad love handles. Your legs are kind of thin, but you have a lot of bad, like fat in the abdominal area. You'll go on a caloric deficit. You'll go on a program and your legs will get skinnier before your freaking abs will shrink.
I know.
Because your body is going to lose the place that it has the most. That's where it's going to come off of last. I heard this analogy on another podcast I was listening to. Think about it like draining a pool. If you have a full pool, swimming pool, and you drain it, the shallow end drains faster.
True.
Right?
Yep.
The deep end is going to be the last to finally drain is the deep end, right? We had a pool. Remember exactly. that? So the area that you want to lose the most is going to be the very last to go. And unfortunately, what that means is, yes, that does mean that sometimes you have to go down further than you ever thought you even wanted to in order to lose that stubborn fat. Now, when you, if you go all the way down, so that's why a lot of personal trainers, especially in like competitive bodybuilding and things like that, bikini bodybuilding, they strip you down to like a super, super lean state so that you do get rid of all of that stubborn fat. You know, like that's what Matt did with me. He took me way down, leaner than I needed to be to get rid of, like, I had like my lower back and my love handles were my problem area.
Crazy.
But the good thing is, if you've been all the while you're losing this fat, working on a good strength training regimen, you're also putting on muscle and you're changing your composition a little bit. And you're also potentially changing the way your body will reintroduce fat when it does. So when you kind of like bulk back up a little bit, because maybe you got a little too lean, it doesn't necessarily mean the fat's going to go all the way back to all of the bad places. Sometimes things change. Sometimes that will shift. But if you put on a bunch of weight and kind of like drop your healthy lifestyle altogether, your body will go back to where it was before. You know, like wherever you were, wherever you tend to gain weight. So like for me, my first place that I gain and the last place I lose is my face. I can be very lean, but if you see me from the chest up, you can't tell. Like you wouldn't be able to, like a lot of people, you could look at someone's face and go, wow, you've lost weight. Not me. My face stays chubby until I have to get really lean in order for my face. And it's always been that way for me. So everybody is different, you know, so you can't spot reduce. If you have fat that you still, so oftentimes someone will tell me like, I don't want to lose any more weight, but I still want to lose the fat off my stomach or something like that. So then I'll have to say like, well, you can't really do it like that. You have to just keep working on the fat loss until you're content. And then maybe, you know, bulk back up in other ways with
reverse diet.
Reverse diet after, and then some resistance training.
Yes, of course.
But you can't like, okay, I'm happy with my weight. Pause. Let's stop the weight, but let's continue to lose fat.
That's true.
It just doesn't work that way.
It's too bad, but it doesn't.
Yeah. It doesn't
work. Not yet. We're not there yet. Maybe 50 years from now we'll be there, but we're not there yet. We haven't discovered that yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, so it's tough. But like, you know, I just see so much crap out there and so much misinformation. And because people will fall for it. They'll fall for it because they're vulnerable and they want to hear that, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm going to do this, you know, this back fat blasting workout. I'm finally going to get rid of those rolls under my bra strap. Like you're not unless you're.
How about the juice diet? That came and gone fast. Remember that fad?
I mean, why are people losing on the juice diet? Because they're in an extreme caloric deficit. You know what I mean? The juice diet, the grapefruit diet, the tuna diet, this diet. It doesn't matter. Subway diet.
Yeah.
The reason they're losing is you're in a caloric deficit.
They're never sustainable though.
They're not sustainable. Never. And then you wreck your metabolism and you don't know how to eat like a balanced, healthy lifestyle. So
not only your caloric deficit, you destroy your metabolism too in the process.
And unless you know how to reverse diet out of it, you're going to gain it all back and then some. You know, so you have to be careful with those types of fads. People are losing because whatever stamp name they're putting on it is creating a deficit. The cayenne pepper diet.
I remember that.
I mean, come on. There's been a million.
Remember the Hollywood one, the juice Hollywood diet, and there was a Miami South Beach.
My mom did the grapefruit diet so many times. All she could eat was grapefruit and a baked potato or something crazy. I'm like, oh my God. But she was probably eating like 600 calories a day. Of course it worked.
Crazy is where did they come up with this bullshit in life? Like we've been duped so much. Like oh my God, dude! Like it's just gimmicky now.
And people, and then lose 30 pounds in 30 days.
Like we've seen those signs before walking. We're like,
believe those things.
I know.
And
it's not truth.
It's not true. You have to do it the right way if you want to do it, and keep it off, and truly reach your goals, and get off the hamster wheel. You got to do it the right way.
It's like only an extreme individual could lose 30 pounds in 30 days. That takes like a soldier, a fighter, something extreme.
Yeah. Like, can it be done? And can it be done? Yes. But you're going to, for most people, depending
something. On something, you're going to do damage.
Where you started. No, I wouldn't say damage, but you're going to cause adaptation. So adaptation, you have to reverse out of metabolic adaptation and reverse diet out of it. It's difficult to do that.
I know it is.
It's difficult to do that. It's a long process. And you know what's funny is a lot of people there's a lot of naysayers about, oh, it's not true, calorie deficit, that doesn't make any sense, or they don't believe in it. They'll be like, I lost weight without ever tracking a macro. Okay, I've never said that you have to track in order to have a deficit.
True.
You don't track and you create a deficit because yeah. You burn so many calories.
That's true.
You kind of have it in your head like, okay, today I definitely burned over 4,000 and I probably ate about 2,500. So boom, 1,500 calorie deficit.
You're right.
You didn't track one single macro, but you put yourself in a deficit.
Yep. Kind of learned over time.
But you don't even have, but there are people that have no concept of how much they're burning or eating, but maybe they're just not big eaters. Maybe they're very active. If you're losing weight, you're in a deficit. Is what I'm telling you. Whether you track the macro or not, just because you didn't track it,
you're right,
doesn't mean that it wasn't the deficit that caused you to lose weight.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
You know, it is what it is, and even other things.
And like you said, I'm very extreme. Most don't work out like I do.
No, that's why when you talk about like, oh, you guys got to chill in your workouts. No, most people don't need to chill. Okay, most people need to turn it up, including myself. You need to chill.
I said ease back into it. I didn't say chill. What? Me chill, no.
Anyways, I know I don't want to be the Grim Reaper, but I'm always going to keep it real. I can't be anything.
Negative Nancy, you mean?
Negative Nancy?
Yeah, that's okay. You. Negative
I'm not
Nancy.
A negative Nancy. I'm a positive person, but I'm real.
That's real, though.
I'm not going to tell people.
Nah, don't sugarcoat
crap. I'm not going to advertise my program as, you guys, you can lose 30 pounds by summer. Or I'm not going to do any of that.
No.
Those tactics to get clients and make false promises that are bull crap. I refuse to do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I'm sure it costs me business because I don't appeal to that in people. I don't appeal to that get skinny quick and it's super easy and all of that, you know? I don't use all of those buzzwords.
Yeah, it takes time, takes discipline, takes practice, it takes mind control, it takes a lot of things. It ain't just overnight.
It's not. It's like I said, most of this crap is like, they call it like snake oil.
Yes, it is. I forget who all said the same thing. There's a lot of snake oil out there. In the fight world too, there's a lot of snake oil.
And I mean, you know, you know what I see all the time on Instagram? I see so many people, and specifically with keto, because I guess probably because I have a lot of keto people on my page, but every week it's, I'm back to keto eating. Okay, I'm back to strict keto. I'm back to strict keto. How many times are you going to go back and forth? Like if you can't stay on it,
that's what do they mean I'm back? Like they fall off and go back to regular? Oh, hell no.
If you can't stay on it, that's an indication it's not for you.
No, it's not working.
It's for you if you enjoy that way of eating.
Yes.
You enjoy it. You're having success on it. And it's not, you don't feel deprived. There's tons of people that feel amazing on keto and they don't have a problem sticking to it. They truly thoroughly enjoy that way of eating. Mm-hmm. In that case, that's great because anything that you can stick to that you enjoy what you're eating, that's the key to success. But for the people that I see keep going back, every Monday.
Oh my God.
I'm like, listen.
The weekend they eat nachos and donuts and back to Monday.
And
that's
people
hilarious.
Always say like, I'm going back to this because it's what works for me. If you keep having to go back to something because it works for you.
Yeah.
You need to stop and think. It probably doesn't work for you because you keep having to go back to it. Exactly. You're falling off of it.
It doesn't work.
And I'm not trying to bash keto because I think keto is great if that's your style of eating. I did it for 3 straight years.
It helped me a lot.
I did it until I felt like I wanted to do something different. And guess what? That's okay too.
Both did.
Because you're not married to it. Like I say, no. It's not a divorce. You're not married.
But it's okay to go back to it though, right?
Yeah.
So I can go back to it if I ever wanted to?
Of course. Anytime.
Just for a little bit, just to strip off the fat and then get back to regular eating?
Well, you're not. Why are you going to strip off the fat?
I mean, you know what I mean.
What's going to strip off the fat is the caloric deficit.
Yeah, I mean, getting lean. Yeah, yeah. But I stripped off the fat fast with keto though, for me. The diet.
But it was because of your caloric deficit.
Well, that too.
Because the fat, it's because the macros. You were tracking macros. When you lost fat, When I intervened, I put you on macros, remember? I put a meal plan together for you. That's why you lost. It didn't matter whether it was keto or not. If you want to go back to being lean, you just need to track. You don't.
I don't.
Let's be real. You don't. You eat what you want, when you want, how you want.
Kind of.
So it's all
and
about
still lose weight.
You can do whatever you want that's going to work for you where you can stay on track. You know, for me, keto is really good if you want to like lose some quick water weight.
Yeah.
If you want to feel leaner and lose some quick water weight, it'll come back fast. But like,
yeah.
You know, drop your carbs for a few days. You'll lose some water and you'll feel pretty lean. It's always good for that. But it's also just, you know, it's good for if it works for you and you do it for however long it works for you. For me, it was about maybe 2 years, two straight years.
I think for me,
and
wasn't
then
it about 2 years?
I transitioned off of it. Yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
And then if I want to go back, I can go back and I can go, I can do vegan for if I want. I could do whatever I want.
It's true.
It doesn't matter. You can have success in whatever way of eating you choose. That's not what's, if your goal is weight loss, you can do whatever you want and lose weight. You can eat whatever style you want and lose weight. You just need to know how much of what you should be eating in whatever style you want to eat. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that complicated. And at the end of the day, I have, you know, a lot of clients are starting boot camp tomorrow, BBC 7. Woohoo. Don't overwhelm yourself with the style of eating and putting a label on it and all of the details. Just start very simple. Like you said, ease into it. I tell my clients too, like I throw a lot of information out at you and I tell you all the bells and whistles, but you don't have to do all of the things in order to have success. To start, I always just say, tabulate your calories. So figure out your calories and get your protein in and get your movement in. If you can do those three things, you're already going to start progressing right away.
Mm-hmm.
Calories, protein, movement. If all the other stuff is completely foreign to you for right now, then don't worry about that. Take it one thing at a time. You're creating a lifestyle that's going to last a lifetime. Think about you're laying it brick by brick.
Yep.
Brick by brick. So if brick number one is just getting a hold of your volume of eating, and brick number two is finally eating enough protein, because most people don't, especially women.
Yep.
Then those are your first two bricks. And then brick number three is getting in your exercise, and then you'll start coasting. Then tune into the coaches' chats and you know, I'll continue to guide you. You know, you can start at layering in more things as you feel more comfortable. Then you'll start to get motivated. You'll start to feel better. You'll start to see the scale move, and then you'll naturally just want to do more.
Yeah.
But don't feel like you have to do all the things right out the gate, because you don't have to do that. It doesn't require that. It never requires that, honestly, because perfection is not required for progress. But just having an overall idea of how much you should be eating, getting in your protein, how much you should be moving, those three little nuggets right there will create your deficit. And at the end of the day, no matter what you're eating, no matter anything else, it's that deficit that's going to equal the weight loss and the fat loss.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And we'll see you on the next one.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Candidly with Coffee. Be sure to subscribe for more candid advice from your host, Janine Escobar. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.